Blog Talk Radio.
Nalema kulila misozi, nikayanga na banja latu. Kupadwa tinabadwa mushe, koma lelo lipazulika. Nikale tinakalapo kondwela, lelo heka tutikumbukila kweta chokela. Amai kuvutika mutima, koma zoti tazisoa. Nimaona misozi masomu wake, ni mafuto avale ni mafuto. Kumova kudibenta wiyo na kubanja kumwana ako kuipirendi kuchitoko na mumu follow hamama inehi njiwanda zota nizi taeza talema na yuma pempelo atika pena siku lina azati kumbukila oye chifu kwa lelo bantu bonse wasoweza ulemu. Atate mwe, kale osangalala tuwa ingatoki talema na pepo katena mbale wanga azazi wakuti akula azazi otawa mavuto alimumanja mwake kapena zaziwa kuti afuniko limba chifukwa ni mwamuna afuniko vuti kila banja.
Good afternoon, this is Twamboka Pilikisha, broadcasting live from Bonn, Germany. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining me again on Zambia Blog Talk Radio. We are here broadcasting to you from the diaspora as Zambians, you know, bringing you programs that matter, programs that introduce you to different topics about Zambia, programs that are important to us and that we hope are important to you as well. Today on Diaspora and Truth, I'm happy to say that I have a guest. And her name is Jemima Chulu. Now, Jemima Chulu is also known as Scarlett Mwana Okondwela, and she is the young lady behind the song Munisungile Banja that I have just been playing. Now, I let the song play a little bit, you know, just so you can hear it, just so you can get to know what her sound is like and things like that. So I know that there's lots of listeners that are excited about hearing her, and I am trying to get her to get on the program. We're having a little bit of a problem with getting her on the line, but she will be on. And yeah, so before we begin the show, I just wanted to speak a little bit about Zambia Blog Talk Radio and how we are needing your support, any form of support you can give us, especially financially. You know that Zambia Blog Talk Radio is free. Nobody pays a subscription, but we have to pay Blog Talk Radio in order to continue with, you know, bringing you these programs. And so I just like to encourage everybody to visit our website. Visit our website and you can give via PayPal. And we would really, really appreciate you helping us with keeping Zambia Blog Talk Radio on the air. We love to do this. This is a free service to you. No, none of the people at Zambia Blog Talk Radio get paid to do this, but we do need to pay Zambia Blog Talk Radio in order for us to stay on air. So we would really, really appreciate your support and everything. I would just like to go to the phone lines now that it seems that somebody is already calling in. I think it might be excitement for Scarlett, but I'm just going to let you know to hold on you know, until I get her on the line. I'm working everything out in the background. So before we actually go in, I would just like to say that I'm doing this program with her just so, you know, we can get a little more information about the arts in Zambia. A lot of the times when we think about the arts in Zambia, we only think about music. There's all kinds of creativity and artistry going on in Zambia. And I brought Scarlett on the show because she's a different kind of Zambian artist. If you know anything about her, she does more of the African soul sound. If you've seen any of her videos on YouTube, if you have seen any, you know, if you've heard any of her songs, which was posted yesterday on Facebook, there's a new song that was posted. I listened to it and I was very, very happy about it, very happy to hear it. And I can't wait for you to hear a clip as well. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to play her song, Munisungule Banje, again while I continue to try to get her on the line. So please do bear with me. I'm doing everything that I can to get her on. So yes, please just stay tuned. Thank you.
Kulila misozi nikayanga na banja latu kupadwa tinabadwa mushe komalelo lipazulika nikale tinakalapo kondwela leloeka tutikumbukila kweta chokela amai kuvutika mutima komazoti tazisoa nimaona misozi masomwake nimavuto abale nimavuto. Kumwanako kuipirendi kuchitoko na mumufolo hamama inei iziwanda zota nizi taeza talema na yomapempelo atikapena sikulina azati kumbukila oye chifu kwa lelo bantu bonse basoweza ulemu atate imwe atate imwe. Kale osangalala zuba ingatoki talema na mpepo katena mbale wanga azazi wakuti akula azazi otawa mavuto alimumanja mwake kapena zaziwa kuti afuniko limba chifukwa ni mwamuna afuniko vuti kila banja kuti ni bambo wa nyumba elo asataye wana siunga ziwe aza kutunga kusogoro popo. Oh,
Okay, we're still working on getting Scarlett on the line, but I would just like to invite Ms. Lucas to sort of have a discussion with me before we actually get her on the line. Ms. Lucas, good afternoon or good morning.
Good afternoon to you, and it's morning for me. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Thank you.
So I know that you are also a fan of Scarlett. I think a lot of people in Zambia Block Talk Radio are her fan, as everybody that listens to the show would know that we actually play this song, Muni Songele Banja, pretty often, you know, to start off a show. Maybe you can just let us know, what is it that you like about her music?
You know, in particular response to the song that you just played, the lyrics for that song are so deep. And just the melody of it is so soothing. It just captivates you. At first, I didn't know what, I wasn't paying attention to the words, which is surprising. I'm one person who likes to listen to the lyrics. But what got me was the melody, I don't know, the tune. And then as we played the song more and more, this song speaks volumes with every verse, with every line that she sings. It's so good. It describes almost every family, married or not. It's something that I think everyone can relate to.
Mm-hmm. And I would just like to let our listeners know, for those that do not speak Nyanja, when Scarlett is singing Muni Sungile Banja, she's singing a song and she's praying to God and asking him to help her look after her home, look after her marriage, to give her the wisdom for it. Now, if you compare, you know, the music that she does and the message that she has in her songs, would you compare her at all to any other female Zambian singer that you know? Is there any other Zambian singer that you feel would be, you know, would have the same message or sing the same music?
You've put me on the spot because I may know songs, but to say this is the singer, the artist, would be a challenge. But for those whose names I know, I would want to say Scarlett stands on her own. She's risen the bar. Her standard is high. I like other than the gospel artist, this is, I guess you would call it a secular song, but it still speaks volumes. I mean, I think it's a Christian song. But I like how she really relates to reality. She really touches heart. As you mentioned, she's asking God for guidance and protection over her family and also some of the misconceptions that happen in her home, but that are beyond us, that we really need God to help us through them.
Okay, now I'd just like to let our listeners know that we actually have Scarlett on the line. Scarlett, thank you for joining us on Zambia Block Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? Thanks for calling.
Yeah, we're glad that we finally got you on the line. And we just, you know, we played your song, Muni Sungile Banja, which is a very popular song on Zambia Block Talk Radio. We play it very often. And the reason I have the show was that I would like, you know, all the Zambians in the diaspora that love your music to get to know a little bit more about you, a little bit more about who you are, what kind of music you do, and things like that. So would you just, you know, start off by letting us know, who are you? Who is Jemima?
Jemima is a Zambian born and bred singer, songwriter, poet, blogger, and radio presenter. I've been working since 2010. Originally out of So Good Entertainment that was based in Lusaka. And my genre, we're not calling it Afro-funk fusion, but I think when I started, I was a little bit of jazz and soul and Afro all mixed into one thing. So I think that's the simplest way to put it.
And do you write all of your own music?
Everything that's in English, yes, I do. When it's vernacular, like Muni Sungile Banja that you just played, I usually get help from my original producer. His name is James Sakala, and he's written everything that's not in English and helps me with some of my English as well. He's my original voice coach and performance coach, so that's where I get most of my help in the booth from.
Okay. Now, what is your musical background? Would you say that you come from a, you know, a musical family, or is this just, was music just an interest that came to you? Were you inspired to do it? How did it all start?
It's funny. In a way, I do come from a musical family. I don't know if people know North Mead Assemblies of God. The original band there, the original choir, was a band that was founded by my parents. My mom used to sing lead and dad played guitar in the band. So that's what I grew up with. Like, my mom sings, and my dad is a very musical person. I grew up listening to jazz, like, from a really early age, and that's the kind of home that we lived in. So it was not something that I wanted to do. I always had music around me growing up, but I never wanted to be a singer. Yeah, and then, I don't know, one day I wrote a song, and it sounded nice, and I got hooked. It felt like a drug.
Okay. Well, you know, coming especially from Zambia, a lot of the times the thought, you know, that African parents will have, or that even our peers would have, is that if you were doing music, you would only do it as a hobby and not as a livelihood. What are your thoughts about this? Have people been discouraging you with the, you know, getting into music, you know, just study and get stuff done? How has the response been to you getting into the music industry from your parents, from your family?
Well, I have a degree in literature and linguistics already, and I'm part of the way done studying for a law degree as well. I finished my third year. So it's not like I didn't get an education. I did. But halfway through it, I realized that my talent was taking me somewhere and decided to maybe put a bit of pressure behind that. So I talked to my parents about getting out of school and making it a career. And, of course, I mean, in the beginning when I just started, my mom was not really for it. But this is becoming a well-known fact now. She's my manager. So I spoke to her, and she didn't really like the idea. But after, I think, I'd been out of school maybe about a month, and a lot of stuff started falling into place. And she was like, okay, fine, as long as you promise that when you get a chance, you'll go back and you'll finish your second degree. So that's the deal that we made. And I think my family and my band are, like, my biggest support doing this. I don't get much discouragement because I think when I get up on stage, I kind of shock people. They forget all the negative things they wanted to say before I started singing. But so far, so good. Like, I have a very good support system and a lot of people that are behind me. So I'm not really complaining.
So how would you describe your music to somebody that has never heard it before? I mean, they've heard Bunisungile Banja here on Zambia Block Talk Radio. They don't live in Zambia. They don't hear you on radio because, by the way, for everybody that's listening, Scarlett has also been on radio. I think it's Radio Phoenix in Lusaka. How would you describe your music to somebody that's listening?
No. I have a show on. It's called Power FM, actually.
On Power FM. Okay. So how would you describe your music to somebody that has never heard it? Somebody that's listening to you on this show for the first time?
It is, my music is a lot of things, but I think the most important part of the description is that it's very organic. I tried to come up with a sound that wasn't there. So even the way we construct the music, there's songs like Nikakuona, for instance, that we made during a band rehearsal. So everything is very original and organic, like just the way we feel it, the way we can hear it in our minds or in our hearts, and that's how we create the music. It's very original and different. I like that it's unique in that we tried to keep it as ethnic as we possibly could while our influences from other genres as well, because, you know, like my keyboardist would play really great jazz and throw that on an African beat, and my guitarist would play electric and then go back to just strumming or reggae chops. So it's a lot of different things mixed into one, and it becomes a very cohesive kind of sound that I don't think anybody else has out here. Yeah.
So, and I would like to agree with you, and we were talking about Matilda before you came on, that, you know, there isn't really a Zambian artist that we've heard that has a sound like yours. And when I listen to your music, I can compare it to other, especially a lot more a South African sound. I've heard young South African ladies do the kind of music that you do, mostly jazz and things like that. Why do you think that a lot of young Zambian people are not into listening to jazz? Is it because they didn't grow up listening to it like
it's
you
funny.
Did?
Yeah, I think that when it comes to Zambian music industry, the biggest flaw that we have is just a general lack of exposure. Because there's, you know, we I know for a fact the people I work with, we research what we do, and we research different people, different artists, different sounds, different instruments. We want to learn as much as we can. But that's not the case with everybody else, because you get that people out here would do it because of money, and then, you know, money and to make a name. But that also becomes like a compromise on quality, a compromise on the longevity of your product. So I think it's got a lot to do with exposure, because when you're coming from a background like mine where I don't have any formal training, it's very expensive to do what I do, because I play with a group of about 7 people, you know, 7 to 10 people at a time when it's a full band. So it's very expensive to do what I do the way I do it, but because I'm committed to coming up with something that's different, something that will last, something that people will remember me for, then I put the effort into it. But that's not the case with everybody else. So you find a situation where I would rather copy and paste a sound that I heard somewhere else, or just loop my vocals over a beat, and it's easy to do it. It doesn't cost that much. I don't have to perform it with the band. I can just have a CD play. So it's exposure, because I think when your mind is opened up to other things and you're passionate about your craft and you make it the only thing in your life, you want to make sure that when you get up on stage or when you put out a song, that it's something that someone will always want to listen to again, not something that's just going to make noise in the club. So it has a lot to do with just the mindset of people out here, and I think that's the biggest problem that we have.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that a lot of Zambians in the diaspora would be able to appreciate your music more because they have more of that exposure that you're talking about?
Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, you get people that come in from outside and they're like, we didn't know that there was a Zambian making this kind of sound. Can we have a CD? I want to take the CD home to my sister, that kind of thing. And I get a very good response when I'm especially outside of Lusaka. I get great responses from people who are Zambians from outside, even just other nationalities from outside the country, that will see me sing and get surprised that there's something like that here. So it's very true that people outside who are more exposed appreciate it more.
And has the Zambian music industry been supportive of you? I mean, I know that I've been reading a little bit about what is going on, and people are complaining about the National Arts Council and things like that. Do you feel appreciated? Do you feel that you have the support that you need as an artist from the Zambian music industry? Or do you feel that, you know, you would have to leave the country to get all, you know, the support that you would need?
Support comes in degrees. I mean, I don't have a personal qualm with the National Arts Council. I have nothing to do with that debate at this particular moment in time. But I understand where certain people are coming from, because there's a lot about our industry that's still young, a lot that needs to be improved. In my personal experience, because people like to say that the industry doesn't support them, but which part of the industry are you talking about? If I talk about, like, my career, I basically, Scarlet, the brand, was made by the radio DJs in Lusaka, to be honest. And the radio DJs in Lusaka are the ones that made enough noise for the radio DJs on the Copper Belt to look out for me. So I have had amazing, tremendous support from radio in Zambia. I get invited to things, I get asked to come do random interviews, that kind of thing, and they're always helping me to promote what I'm doing. In terms of other musicians, I don't have beef with anyone, and, you know, you get people who come up. I had a show where Mampi just offered to come and open for me, and she's the bigger artist, but she came out. So I feel like it depends on what kind of attitude you have, and you project what you attract, you know. So when you're coming out with a positive aura and you're saying, listen, I'm here, I'm young, I'm learning, and I'm willing to learn whatever I can learn, people are they're more open to receiving you. That's what I've learned. Mm-hmm. Additionally, I kind of keep to myself. So I stay out of a lot of the drama. So I don't really have, like, a podium on which to stand to say that people are not supportive of me, because they are, and, you know, they will retweet what they need to retweet, they will help me when I need to sell tickets, they will show up, that kind of thing. So I'm not really complaining. I mean, of course, like I said, supportive in degrees, there are certain things that could be done better, or certain things that could be more of which could be done. But as for in general, I think that I've had a pretty good run the past 2 years, and I'm looking forward to how far it's going to go, because I'm not really struggling against anybody in particular. It's very difficult to be me, because I'm the one fish that's swimming against the current. So So in terms of my genre, in terms of my market, it's been an uphill struggle because I'm kind of different from everyone else. So it means that my target market is also different, and it means that my product has to be exceptional all the time, which is, you know, it's pressure on its own. But in terms of support, I think I'm grateful for what I've gotten so far, and it's getting better.
Now, I would just like to, you know, give you a comment. I was talking to somebody about you coming on the show yesterday, and one great thing that they said was that you seem really grounded and that you don't have to, you know, dress in a vulgar way or speak in a vulgar way in order for you to be a great artist. You have, you know, such
Thank
a great
you.
Style and things like that. You know, you wear your hair natural, your hair is short. It's amazing and it's very refreshing to see. How do you keep yourself grounded? And why have you chosen to be that kind of an artist?
When I started, I mean, I started as a joke. Everybody asked me, how did you start? Were you inspired by something, or is this something you wanted to do? I started as a joke. I was at my grandma's house, which is where So Good Entertainment is. I live with my grandparents, and the studio is at the back. So I was in there with my uncles just messing about, and we're like, oh, let's do this. And, you know, a year later, it was a thing. I had gigs and stuff. So I needed to be in a place where I could perform, I could carry myself, I could speak, I could represent myself as myself, because that's the only way I can be consistent. If I'm going to live two different lives, it becomes a little bit of a problem, because then what am I doing when I'm at home? And I need to be able to, I mean, I come from a family of seven girls, I'm the oldest, and my youngest sister is 4 years old. I don't want, like, this four-year-old kid to go on the internet when she's 10 and see rubbish about me, you know? So to me, the easiest was just live the way you live when you're off the stage, when you're outside, away from the cameras. Live that life and maintain that. So in general, you'll never find me out on a date, you know, half-dressed or with my thighs outside or my boobs outside. You won't find me doing that. You won't find me cussing. I don't drink alcohol, you know. So if that's how I am in real life, I just maintain that I need to just be that same person, even as the persona that I am as an artist. And it also follows into my artistry, because if you see even my themes, the type of things that I write about and sing about, I'm very safe, in inverted commas. I was on radio a week ago, and they're telling me I'm the most boring female artist here because I don't have any scandals. But I feel like at the end of the day, when you get off the stage, you have to go home and be that person that you were before you became a singer, or before you became a writer, or before you became any of those things. And if you cannot stand behind what you're doing when you're at work, then you shouldn't be doing it. So that's for me. I mean, I have to have integrity in everything that I do. So it comes out of the way I dress, the way I talk, the way I carry myself, where I'm seen, who I'm found with. I want to live an authentic and honest life in every area. So it was easy for me to just say, this is how I am. I might dress it up a little bit, but I'll never be naked. I'll never be that guy that you see cussing. I'll never be that guy that's dating so-and-so's husband, doing whatever, wherever. I would rather just be myself, because if people can get to know me on that level and like me that way, then it's fine. It means I'm never pretending. So that's really what it was. And also, like I said before, I have an amazing support system. My family, my sisters will be like, don't wear that dress. It doesn't look nice on you, and I'll take it off. My mom is my manager. She never says yes to anything that's not, you know, when she can't back it up in the Bible. And also, my band is amazing. Like, they, even just in terms of performance, like, when I sing and it's a bomb note, they'll be the first people to tell me while I'm on stage. They're like, yeah, guy, you missed that. So, you know, I can't ever be anything other than myself. Yeah. And
well,
I think that's the best part as well.
Yeah, I actually agree that, I mean, the fact that the way you've even presented yourself, and especially the thing that rang out the most for me, is you want to be the same person on stage and at home, because that would be very, very taxing to have your personality split in that way.
Yeah,
and
to be
really
two people, to be Sasha Fierce and Beyonce, nah, I'm not that type.
So I would just like to let our listeners know that, unfortunately, Scarlett is going to have to go because she's such a popular singer and she has an event that she has to go to. So before she goes, I would just like to ask you.
Yeah, the bridal party just got here.
So for those that are in the diaspora, how can they get your music?
Okay, you need to look for me. I'm on iTunes. Everything's available on iTunes, Amazon, and Spotify. If you look for Scarlett Mwana Okondwela, or you look for the album, which is Unforgettably Yours. I'm on Twitter as well, at Scarlett_MwanaOK, and Facebook, it's also Scarlett Mwana Okondwela. And I have a website that's going to go live in the next couple of weeks as well. It's on already, but there isn't much content on it. But if you look for manaokondela.com, all the links and everything are on there. So it's easy to find me and it's easy to get hold of the music.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just, you know, while you go, I'm just going to play your song, Nikakuona. Could you just let the Zambian diaspora know, you know, a little bit about this song? Did you write it? What does it mean?
Yeah, that was the first song that I wrote that has a vernacular in it that I wrote by myself. So it was quite an experience. The song, the chorus is saying, "When I see you, my heart beats like a drum." It was written for somebody that's very close to me about this person. I guess what I always say is just a love song about the most amazing person I've ever met or had the privilege of being associated with in that way. And it's a beautiful song. It came from my heart. And it got a really great response. So I hope everyone out there is going to like it too.
I'm sure that they will. So I'd just like to say thank you, Scarlett, you know, otherwise known as Jemima. Thank you so much for being on Diaspora and Truth. I'm hoping that we can have you back on the show again when you have a little bit more time. I'm sure that there's a lot of listeners that wanted a little more from you. So thank you so much, and I'm going to play your song right now. You know, have a good time at your event, and yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'll look forward to you calling me again.
All right, thank you. And so for our listeners, I'm just going to play Scarlett's song. It's called Nikakuona. So please have a listen, and I will have some more information for you about where you can get her music and her website and her blog, etc. So here's Scarlett's song called Nikakuona.
Oh,
Okay, that was the song Nikakuona by Scarlett Mwana Okondwela. Her real name is Jemima Chulu, but we'll call her by her stage name, Jemima. That was a very, very interesting conversation. What do you think, Miss Lucas?
Yes, it was very upbeat, very positive, a lot of energy. I like that. I wish I can meet her in person. She sounds like an awesome person.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had the chance to sort of communicate with her on social media or look at her website?
I've looked at her website, but I have not reached out to her. So I'll make an effort. I feel like I know her.
I think one of the things that impressed me a lot about her, especially, was, you know, when I asked her about what did her family think about her, you know, joining music and things like that, and she said that she's actually somebody that already has a degree. She's, you know, doing a second degree. Her mother is her manager, and, you know, they do the recordings at her grandparents' house and things like that. Sounds very, very grounded, and I think this is something that's important that is helping mold her into the great artist that she is. Do you think that it would be better for a lot of Zambian musicians to be grounded in this way, to have their families involved and have them look into what they're doing, you know, to shape them up and let them know that being in music, especially in Zambia, doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you're a drunk or things like that? What do you think?
I absolutely agree with you. Family is very important. When you have support, when your support base starts with your family, you can go a long way. You can do a lot more because they believe in your dream and they support your dream. You know, what stood out for me as she was explaining about how it started off as a joke with her uncles and at her grandparents' place, that really stood out for me because that spells a strong support base. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs that in whatever career you choose or whatever career path you follow. You really need the backing of your family. And with that and the fact that she sings very positive songs, it reminds her, it keeps her grounded to remind her who she is. There's much more substance than just being an artist. And just as you said, she has a degree. That's impressive. She said she completed her third year in law. That's just amazing that she even has time to, you know, sing songs and tour and make albums. That's just impressive.
Mm-hmm. Now, actually, we have somebody on the show that, you know, all the Zambia Block Talk listeners are very, very familiar with. She is the former host of this show. Her name is Mukuka, and she's actually the one that brought me on to speak to Scarlett. You know, I had been discussing with her, you know, having on some new exciting young Zambians and who can we have and who would you recommend? And as everybody knows, Mukuka always has very, very good ideas. She is, you know, on the cusp of knowing what is going on with everybody. And so, Mukuka, welcome back to Diaspora and Truth.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We are well.
Hello?
Yes, can you hear?
Oh, there's like a delay. Sorry, I have to get used to the whole... No, I can hear you. There's a delay. I have to get used to that.
Okay. Well, thank you for being back on Diaspora and Truth. We're very excited about you being here. We were going to have you on the other day, but unfortunately you couldn't be here. And also would like to say thank you for hooking us up with Scarlett. It was such a great, you know, interview, even though it was short. I just wanted to ask you, I mean, you have been working with her with all the business that you have been doing whilst you've been back in Zambia. What is it like for you as a creative that has gone back to work with an artist like Scarlett?
I think it's been interesting because you work with someone who, Scarlett is an independent artist. So there's, well, most Zambian artists, if not all Zambian artists, are really independent artists. Not all of them have a label in the traditional sense behind them. It's mostly people who have decided that they love what they do and they want to sing and they want to pursue their passion and then somehow make some money from it, you know, obviously singing at events and corporate gigs and things like that. So it's been interesting in the sense that it's very, very different from the sort of clients that I normally would work with, which are your corporate clients and things like that. So you're working with someone creative who's really trying to push themselves in a market that's very, very hard on the sort of career that she's chosen for herself. So it's been interesting, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, since we haven't spoken to you in a while here on Diaspora and Truth, and everybody that's listening that may know that Mukuka has moved back home to Lusaka. She's been running her own business there, you know, doing really, really well. For those of you that are following her on social media, you can get to see the different projects that she's working on. She really, really has her hands full. So I would also like you to talk about a little bit of what you've been up to. What have you been doing, Mukuka?
Okay, so a lot of people ask me what my job is these days. So what I do is social media management. I manage people's online profiles, companies, individuals, businesses, basically anybody who needs my help. So it's been an interesting time because initially trying to convince people that they needed some sort of online presence and a good online presence was very, very difficult. So you remember, you have to keep in mind that Zambia has its own issues with just even having an online presence. Number one, data bundles are expensive, internet is expensive, and your connection is sometimes terrible. So you have all of that stuff that's going on that you really, really have to kind of work into your pitch, I guess, to clients to say, well, yes, there's all of this stuff, but there are people online looking for you and looking for your brand. So I've been doing that through my company, Circa Media Zambia. It is a registered company, so I'm really proud of that. I did that last year, and that's what I've been up to. I've worked with quite a few NGOs, individuals, and small to medium businesses. So it's been growing, and it's been an interesting experience because it's not the same thing every month. Sometimes I'm working for an NGO. Sometimes I'm working for people like Starlet. Other times I'm working for a corporate organization. So it's very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, you are a Zambian that has moved back home, and on Zambia Block Talk Radio, we've had several, you know, shows where we talk about people preparing to go back home, what they need to look out for, what they need to do. What are some of the experiences you have had, you know, as far as registering your business, as far as immigration, a place to live, getting used to being back home? Could you just share with us what that has been like for you? Because a lot of the times we discuss outside, you know, in the diaspora, saying when you go home, you better be ready for this. But it is a different experience when you actually get there. So
yeah.
Just let us know a little bit about what you had to do, what happened,
yeah,
things like that. Mm-hmm.
I think you can never plan for anything. I think that's the one thing you have to take with you when you come to Zambia. You can plan as much as you want to, but Zambia will have its own plans. I mean, I had all these great plans. I was like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and this is how it's going to work. Registered in 2 months, and you know, I'm going to have my own place in 3 months, and none of that worked out at all in any shape, way, or form. It just didn't happen. And that's because of various things. Number one, when I wanted to register my business, I had to go there nearly every day for 2 months to even understand what exactly they needed from me. People would tell you come back in a day, you'd go back the next day, and then you'd find there's a queue, and there's all of that stuff that you really have to work around. And in the end, I did get my business registered, but it was like 5 months into actually having my business. So, I mean, 5 months after, that's when I really managed to do it, and it was a long process. I had to be, you know, a lot of people just said to me, you know, you should just slip some money to the person, and then, you know, they'll get it done for you quicker. Mm-hmm. But for me, I'm trying best to live a life, a corruption-free life. And that's very difficult. And a lot of people, a lot of my friends and business acquaintances laugh a lot at me for that. But for me, I just feel that it's just the easiest way. It's easier in the long run to not give in to that whole, let me give you 500 kwacha so that my application fee will go through. And it's the same hassle that I've been experiencing with immigration. You know, just trying to get yourself permanent residency is not as easy as you think it is. You know, it's, mm-hmm, the process is just very long and it's just drawn out. And so for that, again, I mean, going to immigration headquarters and standing in queue and, you know, waiting and going to see someone who you've made an appointment with the day before and finding out that they've gone off for a month's holiday, and you're just like, but then who do I speak to? And then they say to you, there's nobody else, it's that person, and you just have to wait for a month. Then you come back the next month, and you're waiting in queue for two hours, and, you know, and as a business person, you really don't have that much time to be hanging around and waiting for, you know, immigration to make up their mind whether they're going to see you that day or not. So it's really, really difficult, you know. And it's also just you have to manage your expectations. I think that's the one thing I would advise any Zambian in the diaspora thinking of coming back. Manage your expectations of what you think Zambia should be like. Because I think I came back and I was like, oh, this doesn't happen in Australia. And who lines up for 2 hours at the from 13 hours, 15 hours, and you know you've got a client meeting at 15:30 and it's clear across town and you know you have to get through traffic, which is now going to be another hour, and by the time you get into your meeting, it's 16:30 and the person who you're meeting hasn't even shown up. Like, they didn't wait for you because they didn't show up. It's just a crazy kind of circus. So you just have to manage your expectation in all areas would be my best advice.
So do you think that there is any way that anybody that is thinking of, you know, coming home, is there a way that they can prepare and get all this paperwork going from the diaspora?
No. I've been not completely and absolutely. I mean, you could get someone else to do it for you. Like, you could get someone else to open a business for you if you wanted, like, if you trusted them, you could do it that way. But if you yourself want to start up a business and do it from the comfort, from the beautiful comfort of your own home in the diaspora, no, pretty much not. One of the reasons why I returned home was because I had started this business, Circa Media, and it was a digital business. And I was doing a lot of the stuff online. And then eventually it required to come home. And because there were certain things that just could not be done via email, they could not be done online at all. So I just needed to come back. And that's why I came back. And I mean, I know I've basically complained about a lot of things in the few minutes that I've been talking, but I think that above everything that I've spoken about, there is so much potential in the country. And once you weed out all that kind of all those obstacles, I think there's a real opportunity for you to grow your business and to create something and to connect with people and collaborate with a lot of Zambians who are focused and who are running their own businesses, especially young Zambians.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of the things that stands out a lot, you know, when we talk on the phone is, you know, how much creativity is going on and how much young Zambians are going forward despite whatever problems it is that they're facing, despite the bureaucracy, despite things being expensive, despite not having the tools available. A lot of young Zambians are just going ahead with whatever their dreams are. Do you just want to talk to us a little bit about what that looks like? What does that mean? Because, you know, being in the diaspora, you would think, yes, there's a lot of young creative young Zambians, but what are they doing? What are they into?
I think the young Zambians, I'm really impressed with a lot of Zambians who are now creating their own businesses and appreciating and understanding. They're the ones who are actually more of my clients rather than the older ones. The younger Zambians understand that having a digital business kind of cuts out your overhead charges and prices that you would have if you had a bricks and mortar kind of business. So if you're, for example, there's a young man who runs a photography business. He loves photography. That's his passion, and he takes a lot of photos for people. So he started taking photos for family members, and then they started inviting him to weddings, kitchen parties, and things like that. Then he started charging them for it. He came up with a business plan, price plan. He went into the bank. He asked them for a loan. They turned him down. He was too young. The idea was, you know, the market was too saturated. They gave him all these sorts of excuses. He's like, fine, I'll do this on my own. I have my camera. I have, you know, I know people want me. People call me up to attend their weddings and take photos of their weddings and things like that. And he continued with it. And he started up a Facebook page and a Twitter page. And a lot of the work that he's getting now is basically through Twitter and Facebook. And the thing that he has to pay for is internet, and obviously his talk time. And those are his expenses and his travel expenses. But you can imagine he's cut out on, and he still lives at home. So his parents are kind of really proud of him because there is a young man who's in their house, yes, and he gets fed and he's got a roof over his head and all of that stuff. But he basically doesn't need a bricks and mortar office. You know, he goes where the business is. And so there's that thinking. I think there's a swift change in the young people where they're saying, well, I don't really need to have a business bricks and mortar, or I don't really need to be employed by, you know, a company to do the things that I want to do. And if I'm passionate about something, I can make something of it if I'm really focused. And a lot of the young kids, you see, you know, they have come up with these great ideas and try to kind of work around the problems. For example, you know, when I first came here, I was always complaining about how much the internet cost and all of that stuff. And someone said to me, why don't you just do all your work offline? Whatever you can do offline, do it offline, and then put in a Word document. And when you're online, copy and paste and send emails that way. And it's really, and it's also, number one, a time saver for me. Number two, it makes me more organized. And number three, I don't pay as much. I'm not online as much, you know, sitting there and typing out emails from nowhere. And then, you know, I've got a draft, copy, paste, and send it. So there's kind of those little workarounds that people are coming up with, especially young people. And, yeah, I think that's the difference between the older generation and the younger generation, is that they're not really sitting back to say, well, we're not being looked after or things like that. They're finding out solutions for themselves to the problems that they're having.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'd just like to go to the phone lines. You know, if anybody has any questions or comments from Mukuka, please go ahead and press 1 on your keypad now. Unfortunately, we do not have Scarlett online anymore, so if you have any questions or comments about her, I mean, you can go ahead and say them, but, you know, she's not here to answer you. So I'm just going to quickly go to the phone lines. We have a comment from 612-5190. Please go ahead with your question or your comment.
This is Titus Matala, Minnesota, Minneapolis. Hi, Mukuka. Hi, Twambo.
Hello.
On mine.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Okay, Lucas. It was good. It's interesting to hear all that, but I wanted to hear more from Mukuka. I think Mukuka would play a more pivotal role on letting the people know who are in the diaspora. I've had an opportunity to be in and out of Zambia, but I've been absent for about 3 years now. So even that, I feel like somebody who's been out for 15 years within the three years. Now, when you come to, I think you can play a more pivotal role to the diaspora. I'd like to ask you to take up that on a voluntary basis and somebody to be free to be able to ask, and I mean, your answers were correct in terms of, you know, there are certain things that we expect that can you do this outside when you're still outside, and you're correctly saying this, no, you can't do this, you can do maybe through a third party or something like that. But I wanted to know more about what you can advise somebody in terms of the prep. I mean, yourself, I think you talk more of, you started doing your business while you're still in Australia. And then it called for you. I didn't get you.
He said in terms of preparation.
Sorry, I didn't hear your question properly. In terms of preparation from the diaspora, what you can do?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, I'll answer their question.
Hello?
Of just prepping them what they need to do to prepare, because you're on the ground there. You've been in the diaspora before. And then what can somebody do in terms of the preparation, other than getting ready for all these traffic jams, expectation of, you know, you have an appointment at 2, maybe somebody will show up, somebody's out for a month, and those optional things,
yeah.
How do you go around it? What does somebody apply for? I mean, you had maybe Australian citizenship, and you're coming back. I mean, I'm lucky that my brother's an American citizen. And I know exactly what you're talking about in terms of all these queues.
Uh-huh.
It's just strange that a Zambian born in Zambia, then you're trying to find residence, permanent residence in Zambia, and then you're going through all these things. It's a hidden thing that people don't get to know. And it's also a difficult thing. So maybe you can even advise somebody who takes up citizenship of British, and then down the line they want to come to Zambia. What are they expected to do? You know what I mean? with what you're going through right now.
Okay. So is your question that you would like me to answer what would someone who wants to get PR, what they would have to do if they've renounced their Zambian citizenship and then they want to come back and stay in Zambia? Is that the question?
I think the question was, what can people do? I mean, other than not having the expectations or having a third party help you while they're home, what can they do from here? What else can they do from the diaspora to prepare to come home?
To come home in general or just specific things? Because that's the other thing. I think people need to remember that there is different things you need to do. So start off with the one thing that you require that is the most important for you. I think a lot of people just make the decision that I want to come home, but they're not specific about what they want to do when they get home, what their plans are in the end, and you know, it kind of helps you hone in on what you want to do. So for example, if you wanted to say, okay, I want to go back home and I want to live, and I want to live and I want to work, your first order of business, of course, would be to visit the Department of Immigration, the Home Affairs, and figure out your immigration. So if you're somebody who was born in Zambia and you renounce citizenship, then you have to find out, what do you need to do to get your permanent residency, who do you need to go see. That process needs to start. You can research that stuff because they do have a website. The information there is sort of up to date, but at least it gives you an idea of what forms you need to fill out and what kind of, I think they also have the correct amount of money that you have to pay. For example, a permanent residence application is 4,000 kwacha. I think that's about 800, 900 Australian dollars. So you already have, you kind of have to have an idea of where am I going, what am I doing. If I'm going to want to come and work here, are you coming to work for a company that's already here, or an NGO that's here, can they help you out with that? There's so many ways. That's why I said it's a very general question that has so many answers to it, because you have to know what the individual wants to do once they get to Zambia. Because if you're just coming to kind of have a look around, then that's a different story as well. Like, where do you start? What are you looking for? Are you looking at selling a house? Are you looking at buying a house? There's everybody has their different requirements in terms of coming back to Zambia. Are they coming back for good? Are they coming back for a temporary situation? I hope I'm answering it. Basically, what it is you can't have a general question like, what do you need to do to prepare yourself for Zambia? Coming back to Zambia, are you coming back for a long time, a good time, short time, 3 months, 6 months, forever? Have you sold everything and decided to return? Because most people, when they say, what do I need to do to come back to Zambia, haven't even begun to sell anything. They're still kind of, it's still an idea. So it's very, very difficult to advise someone until they're in the process of actually moving.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, unfortunately, we are coming towards the end of the show, and I would just like to get in one more question or comment. Area code 817, last number is 1615. Please go ahead quickly with your question or comment for Mukuka.
Hi, Mukuka. We've run out of time. I just wanted to say it's good to hear your voice. It's good to have you on. We consider you part of the ZBTR team.
Hi, Nathan. How are you?
Doing good, my friend. It's good to have you on. Twambo, the issues that Mukuka has raised based on Titus's question, I think we need to continue this conversation. Let me stop there for time purposes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I say let's continue this conversation. You've raised some information which I wasn't even aware of. I'm hearing for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I agree. I mean, once we can, settle something with Mukuka, she can come on, because I think it's important. She is one person that has actually gone home and has experienced everything that we have been discussing. So it would really, really be great to pick your brain, Mukuka, about what has gone on. Are you agreeable to this? I'm going to have some witnesses to hear you say, yes, you're going to come back to the show.
I am agreeable to it. Schedule allowing, Tom, but you know my schedule is crazy. But schedule allowing, yes, definitely. I would love to come back on, because my experiences have been wide and varied and have been very, very interesting. And I think that if someone had kind of said this to me before I had come home, I would have thought a little bit more about what I needed to do and how I needed to do it. So definitely I'd love to come back.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Mukuka, for being on Diaspora and Truth again. I was really happy to have you. Thank you so much to Scarlett for, you know, coming on. Mukuka, since you are working with Scarlett, when can we look forward to the launching of her brand so we can access more of her music and information about her?
Well, keep an eye out over the next 2 weeks. We're just finishing up a few things. So I'm working hard and she's working hard. So in about a fortnight's time is when we'll launch the actual rebrand of her brand. And hopefully Zambians in the diaspora will give us some good feedback about her content and about the work that we've been doing to brand her.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mukuka. So glad to hear from you. Thank you to everybody that has been listening to the show. Thank you for listening to Diaspora and Truth. We appreciate it. Please go ahead and go to our website and donate whatever amount you can. We appreciate your support. Next, we have Mr. Roger Charlie that will be discussing what has been happening in the last week in Zambian politics, current affairs, everything. Thank you so much for listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio and Diaspora and Truth this morning, this afternoon, and this evening, wherever you are in the world. And we look forward to having you next Saturday. Please go to our website and listen to these shows again and again. They are available. If you missed any information, just replay it, download it, send it to your friends. Get the word out there about what we are doing, and you can be involved. So thank you so much, everybody. Next, we have Mr. Charlie. Thank you.
My name is Roger Chari here in Warming Up Okotox. Time is moving along. This is 15th of March, 2014. Time is flying. If you wanted to start exercising, I told people, don't start in January. You might stop because everyone starts then, but I'm going to start now. I started last week, so I hope I'll stay along. It's good to see Dr. Patrick come along this morning. It's been a while, Dr. Patrick. I don't know. I'm sure you have an explanation for it. Hello, Dr. Patrick.
Hello, my brother. I was going backwards and forwards with some email traffic. Could you please repeat it? Repeat the question.
Okay. I don't know if it was a question or a comment. I said it was good. It is good to see Dr. Patrick come back, and we hope you have a good explanation why you haven't been around.
Yes, I do. I traveled up to New York, and unbeknownst to me and the weather, it didn't agree with me, and I caught a cold.
No.
And I've just recovered. But the conference that I attended and participated was wonderful, and I'm sure Nathan will talk about it during the next program. But it was about the AGOA workshop and technical advice. So it's accessing AGOA fact-finding workshop. And as you know, anything that's discussed and shared concerning AGOA impacts on not only every African country, but also the United States. So that's where I've been, and I've been coughing and sneezing, but I'm ready, and I'm back with the family. Pleased to be back with the
family.
Thank you.
It's always good to have you. I guess you could scorn us as well. Why we were not looking for you? We should have been looking out for you. Where are you, Dr. Patrick? I guess
North Carolina.
Yes. Thank you. And this week's edition of what is happening in Zambia on Open Forum, we are going to look at so many different things. Young girls were detained in Lusaka for wearing a T-shirt demanding the constitution. Is this the right thing to be doing by the PF government? Some ministerial reshuffles. We've had some of them are facing five ministerial reshuffles in 2 years. There is a Ministry of Foreign Affairs, five reshuffles. Ministry of Information, four reshuffles, and so on. We are going to talk about that. But before we do that, let's just report on what is happening around the world. In Malaysia, they continue to look for the missing airline. This is the seventh day, I believe. We want to be with those families which have, lost the loved ones. At our dinner table, it was a discussion last night, my wife and my son. How it is for those families. Your loved ones just, disappear in thin air like that. How difficult can this be to any family? In Ukraine, there's going to be, despite the opposition coming from the United States and the Western world, Russia is pushing for a referendum, which I think they know the outcome, and they are pushing. What should the world be doing when you have someone, I think, who is behaving like Putin? I hope my brother Pianki would call in, because he's Putin's brother. He loves Putin. Those are some of the things which are happening. And lastly, a former policeman, I think, in Rwanda, has been jailed for 25 years by the Hague. My question really about this international court, and everyone who listen to us every morning, those who are online, my question is this international court only for Africans, or it's for everyone? It really bothers me somehow. It's there to look at the abuses about the people who abuse their power or the wards in Africa, but anyone else are exempt from this. Dr. Patrick, I'm not sure if you can have something about this, very, 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 very brief about it. How do you perceive this international court?
International courts are similar to the courts in each country, meaning that those who have influence, those who have participation, those who have a seat at the table, give the rules. So if there are not African representation at the court table, so to speak, then the decisions that are made is exclusive of African state leaders and African members of each country. So all you have to do is look at the international court, see who are the member countries, and that will result in giving you an answer as to why it appears that Africans are more subject to being put under the jurisprudence of an international legal body.
Okay. I wouldn't want to, yes, thank you for that brief explanation. I don't want to stay on this, but I'm beginning to agree, Dr. Patrick, with the Africans who are beginning to say, I think we want to do away with this. It is the bias is against us who are in Africa. Although those people who are talking are themselves in leadership and probably abusing their power, so sometimes they may not receive sympathy from us, but at the same time, I want to agree with them. Having said that,
could I say a little bit about Malaysia and the Ukraine?
Yes, Dr. Patrick.
Okay. With respect to Malaysia, it's looking more so that it's a hijacking. And so if it is, in fact, a hijacking, then we definitely need to look at the paper trail, so to speak, to follow this to its conclusion. Hopefully we'll have a conclusion that is not as severe as we believe it to be, but from the most recent reports, it appears to be a hijacking. Now, with respect to the Ukraine and the Crimea, everyone should always in every incident look at the money trail. If you look at Crimea and you look at Russia's presence in it, and you look at Russia's capital wealth and capital standing, Russia's capital standing is not as good as one would want it to be, as Russia would want it to be. So while everyone is looking at the political situation and why Russia went into the Crimea, quote-unquote, one should also look at these two factors. If Russia was to absorb Crimea, then Russia in turn will have to finance Crimea as a state. This means that at present, the gas and the electricity and the energy that goes into the Crimea comes directly from the Ukraine, which means that if the Crimea is separated from the Ukraine, then in essence they are also separating the energy and the gas lines, and Russia will have to take that up in order to support Crimea. And I'm not sure Russia is in that position to financially do that, also thinking about what the EU and the United States is saying concerning visas and economic withdrawal from Russia's financial position.
That's a good analysis, Dr. Patrick. Sometimes some of this news is so complicated. When you see it on face value, how did we get to where we are? It may not be easy, I think, to understand. Thank you for that brief. In the outside world, things which have been happening, those who are part of Zambia Block Talk Radio, you are newsmakers. Stay tuned with some of these issues and know what is happening. Titus, good morning, my brother. Good to have you also. In and out, as it were. Nathan, good morning. I'm sure you are warming up, Nathan, in Texas there.
Yes, we are, Roger. Good morning. It's good to hear you say Okotox is warming up. I don't, obviously, it doesn't mean the same thing as in Texas.
Yeah, you know, when it is warming up, it can also... can also mean misery. Let's begin, Nathan. Why don't you begin the body lowering here? People are demanding the new constitution. The girls wear a T-shirt peacefully walking, and they are arrested for wearing this uniform, demanding the constitution. How did you take that one? Because I was furious, I'm telling you. I was just furious.
As a matter of fact, Roger, Matilda and I were almost working towards having that group of people coming, except that I had already scheduled Dr. Sylvester Okero to come on. He's coming on. This man is a firebrand in the African diaspora issues. We shall talk about that when he comes. And Dr. Patrick, and he knows what. This is Dr. Patrick's friend, and we're going to be talking about that. First of all, Roger, that to me was another witness or evidence that our leaders have got the slightest clue what democracy is, okay? It's one thing to say something. It's another, we have the slightest clue what democracy is. That's what it's about. People expressing themselves about what they feel about something. What those young girls or young ladies did is actually their democratic constitutional right to express themselves. It's called freedom of expression, in case somebody out there has forgotten. That is that's nothing less than freedom of expression. What wrong did they do? They didn't insult. They didn't use vulgar language. They just, you know, were going up. They are young people. That's what they're supposed to be doing. They should be commended for doing that. They were not being disrespectful to the president or the government. Like I've already said here, that thing about defaming the president, they should remove it out of the constitution. That's something that's got to do with chieftainship, and it's so primitive. Yes, I said it's primitive. We need to take it out of the constitution. You know, it's very annoying, like you have said, and I need to save my breath for the next discussion because those things are very... No, I mean, Roger, it's disappointing. Yeah, this is 2014.
I agree with you. My high blood pressure, if I have anything, I think it really was... I was boiling. I was boiling that day. And in my thinking, a PF may be just be playing with a pressure cooker being cooked right now in Zambia. This thing, at one point or another, it may just erupt. Titus, did you see this news media about children wearing, the young ladies, the youth, on the Youth Day march, they're wearing the uniforms, saying we need a new constitution, and they were arrested for that. I don't know if you saw that media and briefing.
Yes, I did, and it's interesting on that note, and for nothing, I've tested your weather. I was in San Antonio last week anyway. I know about the 80s and 60s, whatever. But coming to your question, Roger, I've witnessed that. It just makes you, you know, I save myself on this being furious and stuff. There are certain things that I expect for Zambia, and there are certain things you don't expect, but you have to be ready for whatever it is. My question goes to knowing that I've always said that the unfortunate part with the leadership with Zambia, it doesn't matter whether I can pick you, Roger, or Nathan, or Patrick, if you become a Zambian president, unfortunately you have to work with other people. And it's those other people that you work with. Me, I'm looking at whether the president can decide 10 directives. My question is the organs of Zambian government. There's the legislature, there's the people that enforce. Now, you're looking at the police people that to actually do that, whether they get the command from wherever, and then they arrest those kids. That is telling you that, you know what, if it is you who is the president, there will be something we're going to say or whatever. You have that power to command whatever is okay for you, and we'll be talking. So my problem is mostly of these organs that actually do that, and they'll tell you that it was a directive. Now, how independent are those people? They get a general of police. How independent are they to do something? You know, there's a way that somebody can sue. If that was my daughter, there should be a way that I can sue for, you know, unnecessarily. There'll be a track record of my daughter now having been arrested. Do you see what I mean? Although maybe Zambia is a different case. You have your daughter that could have never tested being in the cells. Now they're in the cells.
one should be able to sue the police department for wrongfully doing that. So they need to charge that person. If they don't charge that person, then you have an issue about why do you get, let alone these prisons and jails that have, you know very well how they cannot be conducive, overpass or whatever. So how do you subject a student, a kid who's not, maybe even in teenage, is not adult, into what kind of jail? Does Zambia have a juvenile jail or just a one-packed jail where you put this kid? And let alone what happens with them there. The nightmare, all these things, we don't look at those things. But one has to have a way that, okay, where the president can stay out, say, even if he's put that directive, but the police department should have a problem doing those things. They should be responsible where somebody can take the same sat that had sued Coca-Cola Zambia. If you remember, he had found a cockroach in the bottle of, and he won that case. And he was compensated for that. In the long time, if you check your archives, you will find out that. So in other ways, what I'm saying is that there was a way that he sued the bottle company. He's gone to the courts. He wins the case. Those guys are responsible. We should have a system in Zambia where if the police, you're not happy with your daughter being locked up and whatever, you should be able to sue the police. Then they should work it out with whoever directed whatever. But that's strictly the police in charge of that. They are the ones to say, you know what, we have difficulty in terms of trying to arrest this kid because we don't know what case we have given. But if they go ahead, who is responsible? If you talk about the nurses at the hospital, UTH, people are dying unnecessarily. Can you sue UTH? Can you sue the doctor or whoever it is? You don't have any place to go to make these people responsible. You're going to start talking up there, you know, the president directed whatever, but we have to have responsibility into, if the president told you, Roger, to go and shoot Nathan, and you do that, there should be a problem with you shooting Nathan. You should figure it out yourself with the president telling you and you doing it or not doing it. If you're going to do it, then you are responsible for that. Somebody should be able to charge you either jointly or the freelance to just sue you know, and you are responsible. You are going to go to jail, not the president. So there should be a way that this jailing of kids, one can complain about the president. He has the presidential power to direct whatever. But the next person who does that, we should find a way. We are dealing with constitution. We should find a way that those people are responsible. If that is the wrong thing. On Monday, Sheikh Abacha is going to the cells. That's an MP who just won. 1 week in parliament, he's going to a thing and probably could be jailed. And the thing could be nullified back to the Nathan issue by elections and whatever. You know how the quarter is going. You don't have money, but there could be a by-election of Katoa, which is just 2 weeks old. So things are rounding and rounding. To me, that's what I look at. In terms of frustration, I look at the system, how it is. You can go round and round. Mulusa is no longer MP. You can get another person, and your wave of turning around things and then again to an election. You know? I mean, you can turn around things and what are you really doing? Back to, we should stop this by-election.
Well said, Titus. Explaining the way you put it, putting those young kids in the cells, the scars, the permanent scars possibly, they've put on these young ladies. I was listening to Crossfire last night. The young girls, they are requiring a lot of counseling, and it's becoming very, very difficult. Now they need a police report, and they have to go to the same police station to get that report, and most of the girls are saying never would they want to go to the police station because of the way they are treated. To those who are listening online, I think we really need help here. Those who can call the NGO who were part of the youth who did this, they need to be encouraged. This thing needs to go to court. Dr. Patrick, I'm not sure if you have. I'm sure you have a comment on this. As Nathan started it. people, we probably we do not understand the meaning of democracy. When we see the insults Obama received, just around the White House there, the Capitol Mall, people have all different of signs, and they are not even shaken a little bit. And you hear Zambian youth wear a uniform demanding the Constitution. They are arrested, putting cells, scars, permanent scars being created on them, Dr. Patrick. What would you, your comment be on this?
I believe you one has to continue the protest in the face of continuing and mounting opposition. There is going to be force back from the government, and then there's going to be overt force back from the government. And one should be prepared to endure these type of resistance coming back or blowbacks. It's always a blowback if the issue is change. And then whenever you want to effect change, there's going to be counter pressures resulting from it. My suggestion is to continue, and also to continue the outreach networks that are available, such as Zambia Blog Talk Radio, Zambia Weekly, and other outlets. Because if you protest or resist without the magnifying glass on your activities, then in essence it doesn't happen. It's like the old saying, if a tree falls in the forest and no one is there to see it, did it fall? So the actions that are occurring now is only highlighted and focused and made important by your station and other news periodicals. So my suggestion is to continue to focus on what's happening, and also to express your displeasure or pleasure at any and all activities that are surrounding the community at large, as well as the community within the country of Zambia.
Finally, add on your feeling on this issue, my brother. Daniel Tsewe, before we move on to another item.
Thank you, Roger, and I'm glad to hear the weather's warming up here in Pennsylvania too. It's warming up. The weather is getting nicer. So I'd just like to commend the ladies for what they did, and I just feel sorry for the leadership because the ladies have exposed the leadership that the leadership is not mature. I mean, maybe I don't know what word to use. And if the ladies are listening, they need to be encouraged and say they did. So they exposed the leadership or the police, you know. And at the same time, the leaders, even the law enforcement, the lawyers. It's a time to sit down and say, I mean, this is year 2001. What are we doing, you know, to arrest just someone dressing in a T-shirt just to demand new constitution, and you're going to waste the taxpayer money to drag that person, and look what the outcome is coming, just exposing the leadership that we are, they're not yet, you know, I don't know what way to put it, Roger, but again, Zambia Block Talk Radio, thank you for this time that you bring up this issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the leadership,
Dr. Patrick, said, we'll stay on this. If people are readers in Zambia, or our leaders are reflecting on what is happening around the world, currently what is happening in the Middle East, the Middle East is in flames, more so less than before, in Egypt, in Libya, in Syria, you know, that started with one human being saying enough is enough. In Tunisia, he built himself up. I'm tired of being pushed around by government, by the police. He put himself on fire. The people started talking, and the people and the outcome is what we have. President Sata, the members of the office of the president, as they, you call yourselves, you are playing with a pressure cooker. We are living in the 21st century, where people are sharing information faster than you might think. We have on everyday basis what is happening in Venezuela today. People are saying enough is enough. What is happening in Brazil, you know, it's all over the world. And we are sharing with our brothers and sisters on the internet. And probably you are playing with a very, very wrong thing. Dr. Patrick has said, let's continue the pressure. They want to intimidate us. They want to scare us. But let's continue with the pressure. The issue of the Constitution, Mr. President, is not going away anytime soon. It will not go away. It might just bring your administration down if you are not careful with it. So that is my comment on the Constitution. And as we go, unless someone wants something to say about it.
Roger, can I add on?
Yes, conclude on that, Dr. Patrick, and then we'll go to the government reshuffle.
Okay. The headline is Parliament rejects the call for a roadmap for the Constitution. Everyone should think in terms of what happened here in the United States. Originally, there was something known or called as the Articles of Confederation. And that did not do justice to the Union or the central government of the United States. And as a result, after a long, lengthy debate and struggle, the outcome was the United States Constitution. Now, one of the major pitfalls that stayed with the Constitution all the way up to the Civil War was something known as the three-fifths rule, in which the landowners of the South could count for every five slaves, they could introduce or they could submit three votes. And that's the three-fifths rule. And this was agreed upon by the northern owners, industry owners, as well as the southern landowners. Now, this three-fifths rule continued to exacerbate the entire economic structure of the central government and the United States that, again, as I said, resulted in a civil war. I am sure that the activities that's going on with respect to the Constitution will not result in a civil war. I am sure that with the continued agitation and the disagreement with the Parliament, as well as the NGOs, as well as Zambia Block Talk Radio, there will be a resolution. It's going to be difficult, but with the excellence in governmental presence in Zambia, this is going to be resolved. We just have to continuously stay on top of it, never let it go, and always expect a resistance and opposition. But with the input that's going on now and the verbal battle that's going on now, there's going to be an outstanding result in the Constitution.
Thank you, thank you. It is always soothing, Dr. Patrick, how you try to temper down our anger. It's going to be there, but it will be resolved. I hear that. Miss Lucas, the own lady here, please go ahead and have your take on this.
Thank you so much, Far Roger. All right, I was making sure I was not muted. You know, what the youth did is very brave. A lot of times youths are they will stand up where we adults are not standing up, you know. We would talk and talk and talk. They decided to act, you know. And I don't think the government was prepared for this. And it revealed how I don't think they are ready to respond to, I think, I don't know if you'd call it a crisis, a demonstration such as this. And this is just the youth. Now, I can imagine if people decide to band up and stand up together and take it further, it could really be a problem. So that did reveal, you know, a little bit of a hiccup in, I guess you'd call it homeland security. But on the other hand, I am commending the youth for standing up. Though, I do want to ask a question. Is the Constitution ready to be revealed? I know there's a draft. Is it ready for it to be released? Roger, do you have an answer to that?
No, Roger, let me respond to that. Bo Matilda, how many constitution review commissions or whatever you want to call them have we had in this country? And
okay.
This is the thing, okay? In fact, somebody mentioned taxpayers' money. Was it Titus? In Zambia, the issue or concept of taxpayers' money doesn't even arise. The government spends as and how they wish to spend money, without any regards to the health sector, education, road network. Only a few days ago, more people have died. Look at our road network. 50 years, Zambia still looks like it just got independence last week.
Right.
Everybody who has ever sat on a constitutional review commission needs to return the money they were paid. It's immoral for us to have so many constitutional review commissions. 2014, we still don't have a constitution, Matthew, that it's not ethical.
I do agree. I was just wondering where we were with that, how close they are to releasing. I mean, in terms of readiness, I know it could be just political tactics, delaying tactics to not release it, but if the thing is ready, release it. I'm in support with what the youth did. They stood up, they spoke out and acted where adults are not acting. So, you know, I commend that. And yes, if it's at the point where they have worked on it and or it's a matter of just releasing it, why not release the thing so we can improve and be a better nation?
Okay. Thank you so much for that. We'll move on. We'll move on. Everyone had a take on the Constitution. Those who advise the president, I'm sure, are listening. And we are going to continue to push this. This is not going to go anytime soon. Those who are able to make phone calls to Zambia, like we said last week, call the member of parliament in the area where you come from. Let's put pressure before this thing goes in the street and there is loss of life in our country. Do the responsible thing. Call these people and you know, let's continue to mount a lot of pressure. All right, government reshuffle. I've forgotten her name, Dr. Patrick. If you can remind me, she's a former Kansas governor serving for let's say Obamacare now. Kasviris. When I remember, I'll say it.
You mean Kasavilas?
What's her name again?
I live in Missouri. I should know this.
Kathy Savilas, yeah. She's been with Obama and through ups and downs. Through Obamacare. This is now our sixth year in the role human services where she's serving. Which is responsible for everything. And I was counting about yesterday, Obama's cabinet, about four people in 6 years have left. Defense Minister left. Hillary Clinton left. Now we have John Kerry there. The Treasury Secretary, we have Jack Lew, who is Treasury Secretary right now. And Homeland Security, she quit. She was not transferred to another portfolio. That is, in 6 years, Obama have had six people who have left. And in 2 years, the PF have been in government. The Foreign Affairs has seen five people have run the Foreign Affairs. Five people. In 2 years, the Information and Broadcasting Service are now being Mwasakapea was there last week. This week it is Joseph Katema. That is the fifth individual in 2 years to run that ministry. We go to Lands and Natural Resources, where Mwasakapea has gone. He is the fourth individual in 2 years as a minister. And then we have everything else. We have everything else. Second person, like we are seeing, Mr. Sichinga going back now to Commerce, where he came from after moving around. We are seeing that. What is going on in Zambia, Nathan? Why you kick-started the other one? What was your thought on this? It's not funny, Nathan.
All I can tell you is that I feel, all I can tell you, Roger, is I feel sorry for Uncle Bob. that's all I can say.
Let me join.
Dr. Patrick. Dr. Patrick, join that in your thought. Include this question: how long does it take for an individual to be, you know, well informed about his new job, his new role? How long does it take, and before you can now even think of implementing items? Before long, you are even kicked out of there. Join in, Dr. Patrick.
Okay, let me begin with Kathleen Sebelius. Kathleen Sebelius, Secretary of Health and Human Services, has been with President Obama since 2009. And it was and is very important that she remain in that position, because she is the person to enforce the Health Care Act. So her position is very, very important, and we're fortunate here in the United States to have her remain, because she could have resigned. And if she would have resigned, then we would have had to go through the process of confirmation, and it would have been very, very difficult until as of late for the Senate to confirm a new Secretary of Health and Human Services. So she's there. The person that is now heading up Homeland Security, his name is Jay Johnson. He is new, but he is extremely, extremely knowledgeable in Homeland Security. He came out of the Department of Defense as one of the leading attorneys. So I believe that Jay Johnson is a better choice than the former Homeland Security and Defense person. That's a personal belief. So I'm glad he's there. And equally important, if not more important than Kathleen Sebelius, is the Attorney General, Eric Holder. He's been there since 2009, and we're pleased to have him. So he and all of these secretaries and attorney general that I'm mentioning did have the right to submit their resignation. But fortunately, they have been asked to stay on, and they have agreed to stay on. Now, with respect to the Secretary of State, we have John Kerry. Look at what John Kerry is doing and compare it with what Secretary Hillary Clinton did. And you can see a marked difference as to the political presence. So I'm very glad that John Kerry is in that position. It takes a period of time to know, and I'm speaking of President Obama, it takes a period of time to, at least the first term, to know the needs of each department and to identify your talent. Because for the first term, it's basically, President Obama basically is dependent or was dependent on the past Democratic president. So many of the appointments and positions have come through the advice of someone who's been there. Now the second term of President Obama, he knows the lay of the land, and he is quickly putting in position those that he know can do the job, and those that he know will carry out the will of his presidency. So that's here in the United States. Now, with respect to in Zambia, you must notice that many of the positions or the shuffling of positions are repositions. They have not left the ministries as the case in the United States with Homeland Security and the Department of State. These individuals have been repositioned for good or worse. I'm suspecting that it was a good repositioning. For example, Brother Robert Sisinga, he was the Minister of Agriculture. Now he's the Minister of Commerce, Trade, and Industry. I think that's a better position because that's Brother Sisinga's background, commerce, trade, and industry. If you go down the line, Emmanuel Shinda, he's been repositioned. Harry Kalaba, he's been repositioned. Mwanza Kapeya, he's been repositioned. Joseph Katema, he's been repositioned. Emmerine Kabansi, she's been repositioned. All of these are ministers in different departments, but now they've agreed to become ministers in the same administration of President Sata. So it's different than in the United States. In the United States, these secretaries are gone, and they've been replaced by someone else. In Zambia, these individuals have been repositioned. They're not gone. They're still ministers, but they're ministers of different ministries. Now, I'm not sure if they're better in one ministry as opposed to better in another ministry, but at least these changes have been made, and they're still around. So they were there at the beginning of President Sata's administration, and they're still there. I think there's just one individual that was appointed a minister, but is no longer was not repositioned. But the shuffle is different in here in the United States as compared in Zambia. What I would want to do is I would want to look at more closely was the repositioning advantageous to Zambia, as opposed to being repositioned because of the dissatisfaction of their actions in one position.
Dr. Patrick, not to cut you short, you are in an organization, I think you've worked in the middle of state. If you were to hold five positions within, okay, let's talk about the department. If a department has to be headed by five individuals, in 2 years, has to be headed by five individuals, what would you be expecting from that department?
Well, that department, if the individual is that department, as you so adequately stated, has received five different ministers, mm-hmm. then the direction of the ministry would be have scans. It'd be all over the place because you're looking for your leader, but then you turn around and you have a new leader. That is a problem. My question is if the leadership is lacking, why reposition mm-hmm. a new minister from another ministry in your same administration into that position? You either get rid of the person.
Get rid of the person.
Yeah.
Those who are calling here, I've seen a lot of new numbers. If you want to chime in and come in, please press 1. Otherwise, if you are listening, stay where you are. Please chime in. Continue, Dr. Patrick.
Yes, the only thing that I would assess is that the more appropriate position for a minister, it mm-hmm. has been determined by President Sata, and he in turn moved him to a different position. And I go back to Minister Shizinga. Maybe his position is better applied in the commerce and trade.
Well, he was in commerce originally.
Yes.
Originally, he
yes.
was
and then he was moved to agriculture, and then he was moved back to commerce
yes.
and trade. So he is aware of both ministries. I'm just looking at the top. Now, with respect to the employees of the particular ministries, that is, and I agree with you, that is unsettling because you're not sure who's going to be there, and you're not sure whether or not you should follow the dictates of or the edict of a minister, not knowing whether or not that minister is going to be there next month.
Okay.
So I agree with you. That's unsettling for the employees of the ministry.
Roger, can I come in?
Okay. Let me allow Dr. Musangi
okay.
That, and then you can come in. We are running out of time. We have about 5 minutes or so. Dr. Musangi, speak to this problem as well. A minister of any department, let's talk about a minister of agriculture, for instance. You are appointed as the new minister. You are supposed to now begin to travel the whole country to familiarize yourself with what is happening in the ministry, in agriculture, in piggery, in cattle ranching, in everywhere, all the provinces. You spend the money government has given to you to go and to go and familiarize yourself, only to come back to Lusaka that you have been reshuffled. You are going to another, and another one has to be given the same kind of money to begin to go and familiarize. Before they know it, they also come back. Speak to us, Dr. Musangi, as you put your 1 cent on this issue.
I think what is happening in Zambia is a shame that the PF government, when they came in, we had a lot of hopes that things were going to be changing. But as it is, they are just the ministers are tourists from one ministry to the other. Nothing tangible, something that they can speak of has happened
yes.
at all. The ministers
yes.
are
yes.
just
yes.
changing. So we need them to concentrate to do the correct things. And that goes to the issue of the Constitution too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think
that is my input. But I was focused on, I don't know whether you already talked about the road accidents. This last week, we lost 15 Zambians between Kitwe and Ndola. I did not hear about that, but I don't know whether you already discussed the rate of road accidents.
Okay. Sorry, Dr. Patrick, Dr. Musanje, we never touched on that. It is one item I think I thought about bringing on air. But sorry, we never touched that. It's unfortunate. Titus, staying on topic, please conclude as we wrap up our discussion on the government
reshuffle. The question about all these reshuffles, I don't know whether people understand that if you look at how Zambia operates in these ministries, look carefully, you'll find out that the permanent secretaries are the people that are like the blueprint of the ministry. Some of these people that are ministers, they will get the same pay, they'll get whatever. Even if you move them around, yes, they might have powers because it's an issue of like a ceremonial president, like a vice president, how you see vice president, Guy Scott. You know, you do this, you do this, yes, he's the vice president, but the real deal, the shots are called by somebody else. You see what I mean? So the ministry, even if they are reshuffling or whatever, this started with Kaunda government. If you look at the qualification of a permanent secretary, it's a doctorate level. They tried to do that. I don't know whether it's good or what, but at least, so when they move a minister two times, three times back and forth, I think me, I would concentrate on the permanent secretary because he's the one that is a blueprint, and that's why they even, because if you push it that a minister has to be PhD level, you won't have, half the ministers cannot be ministers, you know what I mean? But if you look at the permanent secretaries, they are all, I think they're supposed to be holders of PhD.
Yes.
There might be a few that don't have whatever because of this reshuffling, whatever, I don't know, maybe they would have, you know, not done that part, but that's the blueprint. So in other ways, I'm not trying to support all this shuffling, whatever, but I just wanted to put a note that as much as they're shuffling people, those are just people that will announce this, the minister said this here, the minister, but there are people that are on the ground. The money that you're talking about is the ministry giving the money, the blueprint people are the permanent secretaries. So even if they switch around, I'll worry more if they switch the permanent secretaries every week. Then your question comes into handy to say, you know what? What can you do in 2 years if you switch five times? But permanent secretary,
My name is Roger here in Okotoks. Coming up next is Perspectives with Nathan. Very interesting discussion on what is happening. Dr. Okere will be sharing on that discussion. Join us in another segment. We may have to drop. And join that discussion. Okay, until next week when we bring current affairs happening in Zambia. My name is Roger. See you soon. Bye-bye.